and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Now, the summer days on the lake, huh?
Am I right?
Yeah.
Dude, the commercial conversation right now is just amazing.
We finally found something that the three of us have in common.
We were talking.
You grew up on Folsom Lake.
We'll let you guys in on our conversation.
I like it.
Because I think that's what radio's all about. That I grew up on Folsom Lake, and there was this Instagram reel of this guy. Remember the boats that had like the exposed engines in the back with the mufflers, and they're just like, boom, and there's a big rooster tail shooter. That's what I grew up with in the 80s on Folsom Lake.
Totally.
And so all my friends skied, and you know, you did two skis if you sucked, and you did one ski if you were a badass. And sometimes you'd go two skis, drop a ski and switch over, and then we'd have to go find the ski. And then it evolved into like the ski and a teak boats and then wakeboarding. I sucked at all of them.
Me too.
I was never comfortable with the power of the boat pulling me. And I would try to ski and do it and just try to fight. And Dibs, you were talking about like getting outside the wake.
Oh, God.
And like, blah, 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 blah.
Yes. So inelegant, your boy, just fighting it every single
time. Yes.
Yeah. There's just nothing smooth about it.
It's like Fonzie when he skied with his leather jacket on. That's how I looked skiing. I was never smooth. And then I tried the wakeboarding, and I was a guy that if you wakeboard, I couldn't get the hang of it. They're like, keep the rope
keep
close to your
arms
chest,
exactly.
Keep your knees
let the boat pull
and
you
the boat,
up.
And I was go ass over tea kettle, like face every single time.
And then you get embarrassed. And it's taking me so long to get up. They just put me back in the boat. I'm good. Let someone else who can actually get up do it.
Exactly. I'm wasting everybody's time, and then I get self-conscious, and I'm missing my Bud Light or my Coors Light on the boat. And then we all had a moment where we were great at waving the flag.
Oh, someone's in the water.
Someone's down.
Be careful. Stay away.
I would always be the flag guy up
Me
in the
too.
Front of the boat.
Every
you
time.
You gotta say that slowly, by the way. And the
dangerous.
Front of the boat, and it's very dangerous. On a scale of 1 to 10, that's like an 8.
Easy 8.
Easy 8. I'm waving in the front of the boat and hoping that... crowded days on Folsom Lake back in the 80s and early 90s, if you went down skiing... You could get run over.
Easily.
There was boats everywhere.
Everywhere.
And I would always be like, whip a Yui, bro. Like, he's back. And there's a boat coming at him. And I'm waving the flag in the front. Like, wait, we got a man down. We got a man down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I miss those days. That's
I do,
fun.
Too. We did a lot of Berryessa. And it's one of those things. We were on a houseboat in Berryessa. And we got the news that Princess Diana had died.
Oh,
it's
wow.
One of those, like, you'll never forget where you were moments.
Yeah.
And, just whatever.
Did you pour one out?
Of nothing.
Did you pour one out?
Something got poured out.
Did you pour one out for the princess?
Yeah. It was such a long weekend, my buddy brushed his teeth with Icy Hot.
Oh, my
absolutely
God.
Incredible.
That was toothpaste. It was that kind of weekend.
Was it on purpose?
That's all I'm going to say.
Or was he drunk?
I mean, again, it was a long weekend.
FD. Under the influence of something.
No one was breathalyzed.
I've never done the
93? That was a long time ago.
I see those houseboats that look like, you know, they got the slides into the water and the diving board. That looks like fun.
My buddy Frankie, shout out.
What did you ask?
DJ Frankie. full DJ, full lights. It was a full-on, it was the 90s. It's what we did.
This is way better than talking about the Giants, by the way.
That's too bad. We got to get back.
All right.
Anyway.
Let's talk about Ayuk.
We got some calls to get through on the Giants. 888-957-9570. Patrick is standing by in San Bruno. Let's talk about some of the things Farhan said yesterday before that game after the trade deadline. Patrick, what's up? You're on Willard and Dibs. It's Dibs, FP, and Grandy. How you doing, Patrick?
Guys, how's it going today?
Doing all right. What about you?
Hanging in there, enjoying the sunshine. Hey, you know, I wanted to, I was watching Farhan every second of it yesterday, and I gotta be straight with you guys. To me, as a 50-year fan of this team, that was completely shameful. And it was a complete snow job, not only on the fans, on the media, on everybody. And I was just so angry listening to him, and a few things dawned on me. First of all, I really think that yesterday it really struck me that it's not just him. It's the ownership. I really think they've given him a set of guidelines, and he has no choice but to follow them. No long-term contracts, no big expensive power hitters, you know, keep the payroll within a certain range, and as long as you're keeping the team competitive to where towards the end of the season, we're a couple or a few games out of the, you know, the race or close to it, you know, and we're the fourth most profitable team, we're content with that. That's really what I took away from yesterday, and I was just really angry. He showed no emotions. He, you know, when the reporter asked him, I don't know if you guys heard it, when she asked him about, are you going to get a big power hitter? He just totally blew her off, and he said, oh, we're going to try to go with the youth. And I mean, did you guys hear anything at all that gave you any hope in this general manager, this team, or this ownership that they are really, really committed to winning? And I wanted to leave you with those thoughts.
Yeah, thank you, Patrick. Appreciate the call. One thing that did strike me, which I was a little surprised by, and it's not as if I'm calling for someone's job or even want to go down that road. I was thinking there was maybe the very real possibility that this is playoffs or bust for Farhan, but the way that the trade deadline went and the way it sounded like he was talking yesterday, it feels like he's going to be around next year, which I don't know how you guys feel about it. It's a little frustrating to me, but to Patrick's point, it almost seems like he's coming from a position of, I got another chance at this, the way that things played out the last couple of days.
I do think that Patrick kind of relays my thoughts of the deadline, which was, and I don't know this for certainty, it's just the way I read it from the outside, the marching orders at the deadline were, whatever you do, save us some money. Because what you did in February and March, it didn't work. You spent a lot of money, and it didn't work. We're below 500, and we don't believe, as an ownership group, we don't believe that the fix is here. So, yeah, maybe it was, look, go out there and shed some payroll. Let's give the young guys a chance, and we'll see if this works. Now, I don't think that it was a guarantee that Farhan's going to be back, and there's a sense that maybe the fit between ownership, Farhan, Bob Melvin, and the team is not a seamless, like, unanimous, we're all pulling on the same rope. And if that's the case, then you get to a spot where something's got to change, and, well, ownership's not going to change. And a lot of the players are young players under team control. That's going to be here. And then you've got Melvin and Farhan, and it seems like Bob Melvin's going to get more of a rope. So if you look at where the chain is broken, I think you would look at Farhan Zaidi as the spot. But all that being said, I don't look at the situation and think that he is in as much peril job-wise as many other people do. And I'm usually a guy who's really quick to call for someone's head. I don't mind doing it. It's part of what we do in sports talk radio. But I look at what he was asked to do. I think he, for the most part, did that, bringing in free agents. Now they haven't all worked out. The young players have come up and done well, and you're still kind of in the mix. Unless the bottom really falls out on the rest of the 53 games, I do think that he is going to get another chance to come back and try it again, which would infuriate a large number of the fans, I would imagine. You're rolling your eyes over there. You're not alone.
Well, infuriating the fans is one thing, and losing the fan base is another.
That's fair.
And I think there's a risk of that going on right now.
Losing the fan base.
Yeah. Yep. I also, to Patrick's point, every president of baseball operations, general manager, and all of baseball has to answer to ownership and has to deviate. They just don't have full power to do whatever the hell they want. They hear from ownership. They have trades in place. They have free agents in place. And then they have to go back to ownership and say, do you want me to do this? Ownership tells them, this is how we're going to approach the trade deadline. So every Farhan Zaidi in baseball has to answer to ownership. And ownership has a plan. So I think there's a misconception that, like, well, this guy's cheap, or Farhan's cheap and he won't spend, or Farhan's spending too much. Farhan's not spending a dime. Like, Farhan has to run everything by the Johnsons, and every president of baseball operations in baseball has to run everything by ownership before it gets a stamp of approval.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's way more complex than we know, and that's why we're going to chat with Bobby Evans, and I'm sure he can shed a little bit of light on that and how difficult it is to get big moves done when you have that pressure on you. It's part of the reason why that pressure, speaking of, it's part of the reason why I thought there was a chance maybe the Giants do a little bit more at the deadline, but to your point, Dibs, to your point, FP, the fact that there wasn't a major move. The biggest move the Giants made was to save some money. It almost feels as if the Giants have perhaps told Farhan that he'll have another shot come 2025. Dave Fleming was on with the Morning Roast earlier today. Great conversation. If you missed it, download the free Odyssey app. Check it out on YouTube, youtube.com/957thegame, talking about what we're talking about. Frustration from Giants fans. Not necessarily about Farhan and his job status, but just on the direction of the franchise as a whole. And here's what Fleming had to say about Giants fans' frustration.
You have the right to be frustrated now, because I am too. This is the San Francisco Giants. This is our ballpark, our franchise, our fan base, the franchise of Bonds and Mays and McCovey and Posey. Like, this is not some second-rate operation. Like, the fact that the Giants have been in the playoffs one time in 8 years is embarrassing. Like, that should not happen. We, as a franchise, we are better than this. But if you can remove yourself from that and say, look at all the good things that have happened this year, you can get excited about where this thing can go.
That hit me hard when I heard Flem say that earlier today on the Morning Roast, and it harkened back to something you were talking about yesterday. When Brian Sabian called your parents and you found out that the Giants wanted to sign you, and you had this overwhelming sense of pride that you were going to be a member of the San Francisco Giants. And growing up for the vast majority of my life, the Giants, I looked at the Giants as my favorite team, and I would sit down with my family and watch every single pitch of every single game. And 2010 and 2012 and 2014 provided some of the best moments of my childhood watching those teams win championships. And while 2016 was incredibly painful when they blew that game against the Chicago Cubs, I'll never forget it. It was still a fun season and they were in it and it was competitive and it was great baseball all the way down to the end. But as Flem said, one playoff appearance in the last 8 years, this is not a second-rate organization, a second-rate franchise. This is the freaking Giants we're talking about. And I don't necessarily feel that same level of pride and just incredible enthusiasm across the entire city for this team as we felt years ago. And when I try to figure out what my biggest frustration is that I just don't feel that same kind of excitement on a day in and day out basis for this organization as I felt and during the glory days when I was growing up.
It's an interesting way that Dave put it, because the idea of them not being a second-rate franchise is something that is in the eye of the beholder. Because if you're a free agent hitter, you look at the Giants and you look at them as somewhat of a second-rate franchise. You don't have the ability to draw these big sluggers. Maybe it's the ballpark. Maybe it's the lack of success. One playoff berth in the last 8 years. And I do think that the Giants, to an extent, maybe see themselves differently than how they're seen even by some of their fans and certainly by Major League Baseball, because ever since the last 8 years, you've had one playoff berth. It was 107 wins. It was spectacular. But other than that, you have been a second-rate franchise. You've been a team that's been below 500 or sniffing 500 for the majority of those years. And since 2016, when you made the playoffs, you've been a second-rate franchise. And you can say your ballpark is spectacular, and it is. And you can say that you spent a lot of money this year, and you have. But you haven't won, and you haven't been a real attractive locale for the high-ticket items in Major League Baseball. So hearing Dave say that, and I get his frustration, and I know you share it, FP, in many ways, because you played for this team, you coached in this organization, you broadcast for them, but unfortunately, right now, you are kind of a second-rate organization.
Yeah, I'm not as established on the broadcast team as Dave has to say some of the things he's saying, but I love what Dave Fleming has to say, and I agree with everything he has to say, and he's one of my favorites over there. He's so talented at what he does, and as a human being, he's top-notch. There is no nicer person in baseball than Dave Fleming. When I think of second rate, I think of you cut corners, you don't treat your players well, you don't stay at nice hotels, your charters suck, and the families don't like playing for the team. That's my idea of a second-rate franchise. I'm getting on a chartered 757 tomorrow and staying at the Four Seasons. No, I'm just saying the Giants treat their players like the New York Yankees. The Giants treat the families like the New York Yankees. The Giants have had a reputation as the New York Yankees of the National League, the way they treat their players and their families. And that'll never stop. the way they treat me, who played for him for 1 year, like I'm Barry Bonds. That forever Giant thing is a real thing. So there's no second rate in the San Francisco Giants other than, and this is where I'm going to get real, the way things have been handled lately with free agent signings, with the trade deadline. And it seems like, and I'm not on the inside. I don't know what the owners are telling Farhan. I don't know what Farhan is telling the manager. I don't know what the manager is telling Farhan. And I don't know what Farhan is telling the owners. But like, if you look at it from a fan standpoint, there hasn't been an, oh my God, here we go. It's kind of like you're trying to cut corners and you're trading for injured players and you're signing injured players and hoping they get better. Like, that's what the A's do because they are a small market team. That's what the Kansas City Royals do. That's what small market teams do. So in what Dave is saying, and what I agree with 100%, is that it appears to be, at times, not the San Francisco freaking Giants.
Yep.
The San Francisco freaking Giants are a storied franchise with two of the best baseball players that have ever walked the face of the earth in Willie Mays and Barry Bonds. The San Francisco Giants won 3 World Series in 5 years. Parades at Market Street became like the Macy's Day Parade on Thanksgiving for a minute there. And that's what they have to get back to. That's what hopefully we as fans get back to and thinking that way. Not just like, okay, we're going to platoon guys and line shifts and openers and sign starters and make them relievers and pinch hit for guys. Like I'm big on the mental side of baseball. And there's a chapter in The Mental Game of Baseball, Harvey Dorfman and Carl Keel, great book. If you haven't read it, read it. It's amazing. And they talk about heart surgeons. And when heart surgeons walk into surgery, they scrub up, they get all ready, they put their mask on, they put their gown on, they put their scrubs on. And when they walk through that door, they get big. They're cocky and they stand as tall as you possibly can. And I'm about to save somebody's life. And so they relay that to baseball players. When you get in the batter's box, get big. When you're on the pitching mound, get big. Stand tall. And if you don't feel it, fake it. But like, I want my heart surgeons to be the cockiest, most confident people in the world. I want my players to be the most confident, cocky people in the world. I want my management upstairs to be the most confident, cocky people in the world. And to realize that you are the San Francisco Giants. And this is a franchise that's storied. It's a wonderful franchise. It's one that we all grew up rooting for. And I think, I don't know, we're just kind of getting away from that right now. And maybe all of us need that jolt and need somebody to get big. Somebody down there in the corner of Third and King to get big. And then we'll get back there. It's going to happen. I don't know when. Hopefully sooner rather than later, but it's going to happen.
Well, you've got an ownership group that talks about breaking even in press conferences as something that's important to them. And I feel like a lot of the moves they make are with that as a backdrop. It's more about profit than it is the Joe Lacob approach, which is I'll spend every last dollar that I possibly can to try to win. I don't get that same ethos from ownership. And I know that Greg Johnson has subsequently walked back those comments to an extent. And then you get to this deadline and their moves felt to me like cost-cutting moves. They weren't making the 26-man roster better. They were, okay, we're going to give young guys opportunity. That's fine. But you took guys who make a lot of money and you got rid of them in the interest, I think, of trying to get below that competitive balance tax in the future. The moves didn't feel like big heart surgeon moves. They felt like small moves, and Farhan Zaidi is the king of the small move, and that, I think, leads to fans feeling a little bit disgruntled because it doesn't feel like you're one of the big boys in baseball.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
You're great.
You're saying everything. The Giants don't cut corners. They treat players the right way. There's nothing second rate about this organization except for one thing and maybe how some of the decisions have been made and free agency. I throw in one more, the product on the field. I mean, that's a result of some of those decisions that you're talking about, but the product on the field looks like a second rate product for the most part. I mean, you got some bigger names in there. This is a team that's below 500 that's been right around 500 for now 3 consecutive years. Like, the product on the field, to Dave's point, has been second rate. To Dibbs's point, for the vast majority of the last decade, it's looking from the outside second rate. But the point is, this organization, we all know it, they're so much better than that, and we just desperately want that back, which is where I think all this frustration comes from.
We got to get back to the New York Yankees don't play anyone. Teams play the New York Yankees.
The Yankees are in town. And you sell out.
The Los Angeles Dodgers. You're playing the you're playing us, not we're playing you. So teams play the New York Yankees. The New York Yankees don't play the teams. Teams play the Dodgers. Dodgers don't play teams. So if you're a championship mentality franchise, you got to step up to our level to beat us. We're not playing you. You're playing us. And that's the way it used to be for, I don't know, a long time down there.
Yeah.
And hey, if we go back to Candlestick, that it wasn't like that for a long time there. I mean, Giants were playing other teams, but it has to get back to the point where if you step onto the field on the corner of Third and King, you're playing us. We're not playing you. And you kind of get the feeling right now that we're playing other teams and they're not playing the Giants.
Yeah.
Hey, you should be playing yourself.
Does that make sense?
Like, no, completely. Like the 49ers this year are favored in all 17 games. The 49ers take the field.
You're playing us and right. You got to beat us.
You're playing us and we're playing against ourselves because yeah. We know that if we play as well as we can and as well as we know that we should, we're going to win 90% of these games because we're that good.
Yeah.
That's the mentality you're talking
about. Same thing as like the Steph Curry peak era of the Warriors.
Sorry.
No, you're great.
But that has to permeate through the entire organization.
Exactly.
From rookie ball all the way up to ownership.
No doubt.
From the lowest level of the minor leagues all the way up to the top guy. That has to be a organizational-wide attitude.
And it's not there right now. Let's sneak in a call here before we hit a break. We got Bobby Evans, former GM of the Giants, coming up on the other side in about 10 minutes or so. Up before that, though, is Ben in Fairfield. Ben, what's up? You're on Willard and Dibbs here on 95.7 The Game. How you doing, Ben?
I'm good, guys. Yeah, just hearing you guys talk about the Giants. I was just as frustrated as anybody after the deadline yesterday, and then listening to Farhan's press conference just felt like pulling hairs one by one out of my head. But I got a promotion yesterday, and I'm with my buddy, and we're like, screw it, we're going to the game. And we're sitting out in the bleachers, and the first homer from the A's goes over the wall, and we're both like, ah, it's the first inning, no worries. And then the second one comes over the wall and it's like, all right, it's only 2-0. The third one goes over the wall and you start hearing the let's go Oakland chants. Oh. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, is it this bad? Like, are we really, I just, in the dejected feeling was overwhelming. And then we're just sitting there and waiting for the game to end and felt like it was kind of over from there. It's just, I don't know. Try to be positive, but it's tough for sure.
Yeah. Good call, Ben. And congrats on the promotion. Sorry for the Giants' performance last night. But I think that's the feeling that a lot of Giants fans have. You go into a game, you're going to the ballpark. It's hard not have a smile on your face when you're at the ballpark. But then the game happens and you lose to the Oakland A's. And now you're 4.5 games out of a wild card spot. You got to jump 4 teams to get into the postseason. And you've got, what, a little more than 50 games left to do it. It's certainly not impossible. But with every loss that the Giants incur, it's looking more and more difficult. All right, we got to take a break. We got Bobby Evans coming up on the other side, former GM of the San Francisco Giants. How difficult is it to be in the position that Farhan is in right now? Might not be what you want to hear, Giants fans. I'm sure it is more difficult than we know. We'll ask Bobby Evans that and a whole lot more coming up on the other side. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. More Willard and Dibbs, Dibbs, FP, and Grandy next on 95.7 The Game.